Hey, redesigners, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50 A Life Redesigned. This is Shelley, and I am your host for this podcast, and I'm so glad that you are joining me today because this is a special episode, which is really the first episode in a four-part series with my good friend, Michelle Horton. Michelle is the founder and CEO of Always Chasing Better Coaching, and if you have been on, listen to the podcast, or part of our Facebook group, you have seen Michelle in there many times doing lives, making posts. Very insightful, lovely woman. I just love Michelle to death. And we decided to do this project. And I'm going to give a little warning here for all the people who have delicate ears, is we swear. Michelle and I swear. In fact, the title of this series is Getting Your Shit Together. And in this first episode, we're going to talk about four ways or four items you may be doing in your life that gives you a hint as to know whether you need to get your shit together. And what Michelle and I do, these are things that we have, that we noticed in our lives back in the day and that we have since been able to really work on not doing anymore and thus getting our shit together. So we go through these four points. If you're doing one or more of the following, I would love to know. You can send me an email at shelley@shelleydryman.com. We'll drop that email down in the show notes below. And let us know if you're doing one of these four points. Putting others first. Are you surrounded by drama, chaos, and gossip? Do you feel like everything is happening to you? And do you have difficulty overcoming your past? Let us know. So Michelle and I are going to talk about these four points in this intro episode, and we're going to also intertwine it with our stories and our own struggles. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. I hope that you get a lot of good value from it. Okay, friends, on to me and Michelle. Michelle, what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, Shelley. I think we should spend some time talking about some of the things that are happening in our lives that let us know, maybe this is a sign to me that I could be getting my shit together. Because I think life goes on and we normalize things that might not be normal. And then what happens is it becomes a cluster. So I think we should talk about some things that we see in women around us, we saw in ourselves, that kind of gave us the sign like, this is a good time for you to get your shit together. So one of the things I was thinking about that I see in my clients and I hear in women all the time is we put everybody else first. And you and I were probably raised very similarly in that was a good thing. It was a good thing. That's what a good mother did. That's what a good wife did, was put everybody first. And we also know the fallout from that. So I think one of the ways we can identify that maybe we need to get our shit together is if we are constantly putting others first.
Yeah. When you were first talking about this before we started recording, I had a flashback to when I was like 5 or 6. So that would have been 1967 or something. And I remember we would all go to my grandmother's house for like Easter and Christmas and stuff. And there was a bunch of us because my dad had like 7 or 8 siblings, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So all the aunts and uncles and cousins, there's a bunch of us at grandma's house. And the women would be in the kitchen cooking with their big hair, dresses on and stuff. And they would fix this big elaborate meal. And then the men would sit at the table first and eat. So the women would cook and they would serve the men and then the children would eat. And all the while the women were eating in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that was like the imprinted thing that probably just became a part of my psyche.
Yeah.
That's what you do. That's putting others, in my book, was putting others first.
Absolutely.
You eat in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not elevated to the main table yet. Like the kids' table at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
You cook the meal, but don't sit at this table.
Well, they don't even have the audacity to put you at the kids' table. You stay in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's how every meal was at my grandma's when I was young.
I remember when I was about 25 years old and I had a promotion, an offer for promotion, but it would have required me to move cities from Central New York to Eastern New York to the capital, to Albany. And I was so excited. I'm 25 years old. This company has invested a lot of money in me. I came home and I was married at the time. And I said to my husband, I got this great job offer. It was a lot of money. We had to move to Albany. He's like, I'm not moving to Albany. I'm like, well, what do you mean? This is a great job opportunity for us. And ultimately, it was my decision not to go. Of course, I had to turn down the job, but I felt like I had to do that because my husband didn't want to go. And we didn't have kids at the time either. But that is so crystal clear in my mind. That's the example I always use with women, that I set my dreams aside for what, and I would say it, oh, this is for the good of my family. I want to be a wife and mother. And even though I want a career too, this comes first. And that was a pivotal moment in my life. And so I think a lot of us, we did the admirable thing. We did. And what you're talking about is conditioning, right? This is, nobody said to you that women are less or that you have to put men first. You lived it as a child. So yeah, I think I think putting others first is a really powerful sign that there's something we can do about that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
One of the other things I think about is when you go to work and you're in the office and there's Betty Sue over there gossiping up a storm, right? Gossip, gossip, gossip. And then she comes over to you and she's gossiping and she is sucking the life out of you. The energy level is just going down, down, down. And then someone else comes over to your cubicle and starts, you know, chatter, chatter, chatter. I think when I think about myself and I think about other women who are getting their shit together, one of the things they say is, we got hit by the drama bus. We got caught up in all this shit that's going on at work. That when there's crisis in the family, not even crisis, when Susie says something nasty to cousin Bobby, then the whole family is worked up and there's this phone chain, right? And text messages going back and there's passive aggressive social media going on. So a lot of people I work with and people I talk to and myself, we get caught up in this drama bus. There's drama going on around us. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's so true. And how can I put this delicately? I decline a lot of posts in the Facebook group that will talk about just complain for the sake of complaining.
Yeah.
About something. And funny story is that before I ran away from home, 2012, I drug everybody on my drama bus, the Shelly drama bus. Everybody get aboard. Everybody get aboard. I would start the text train. Guess what he just did to me? Can you believe this? And I want to publicly apologize again to all my friends back then and the ones who have stuck with me. But I sure wish someone would have said to me, like, knock that shit off.
Yeah.
Seriously? How old are we? 12? You know? Yeah. And so when I did run away from home and figured some things out, came back, it's like being an ex-smoker now. I just don't tolerate that. You know, that being said, Michelle, there is like some true crisis that happened.
Absolutely.
True crisis. We're not talking about, you know, all of a sudden your mom has a heart attack or, you know, your sister's in a car accident, that kind of drama. We're talking about this petty shit that we feel we have to complain about. And it's like being an ex-smoker. I just cannot tolerate it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when someone starts it, I'll just look at them and go, and they're like, well, she's not going to engage in my drama. I'm going to go find someone else to get on my drama bus.
Yeah. And I go ahead.
No. It's a skill that we have to learn to take ownership of our space and say, I'm not going to be drugged down in your drama.
Yeah.
For many years, my kids, when one of my kids, I'm not going to mention who it was, would drag me down in their drama, I had to put a stop to it. And then I would go in the bathroom and cry because it was so like heart-wrenching. Like these are my kids. I'm supposed to fix this for them.
Yeah.
But I knew if I did, the next week, it would be some other drama. And they were grown-ass kids. They weren't like 15. They were adults.
Yeah.
You know.
So. And I actually had the opposite happen. When I was going through my divorce, my daughter finally had to lay down the law. She was 27, I think, at the time. And she's like, Ma, like, I can't listen to it anymore. I can't, you got to take your shit somewhere else.
Yeah,
it's not, first of all, it's not mine. And yeah. Second of all, you're bitching about dad, and that's my dad. And I knew this. Yeah,
that's a little inappropriate, Michelle.
You know, and I knew this cognitively, but where I was getting to this too, is when you brought up the word complaining, and that's another hallmark, right? If you are a whiner and a complainer, and you know whether you are or aren't, if I see that as pain, it's like waving a flag that's saying, I'm in pain. Please take away this pain that I'm in. Exactly. That's what I think complaining is.
Exactly.
And so I think, you know, I was grateful for my daughter to say, Ma, you know, now she comes to me and bitches about her father.
So you're like, hey, wait a second.
Wait, where did that boundary go? Must be just one way.
The one way boundary.
Yeah, you know how those are with the kids.
I do. I do exactly know how those are with kids. Yeah.
I think another thing that women who want and need to get their shit together do is they do a lot of self-help. They listen to podcasts. They read books. Every New York Times bestseller book that comes out about self-help, they want, like, they know something's wrong. We know something's wrong and we don't know how to fix it. Yeah. Do you see that too?
I do see that. And once again, I was like, I'm just like a living example of everything Michelle's talking about.
Oh, look behind me on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's this whole thing about self-help, which I'm not going to get into, but it's scientifically proven that whenever we watch a motivational video or read a motivational story or hear something inspiring, our brain lights up as if we have actually accomplished something.
Yes.
And all we've done is read a book. I was a self-help addict. Mm-hmm. It's what I call circling the mountains instead of climbing the mountain. You're like constantly circling that issue, thinking, well, just the next self-help book will get me to where I need to be. But if you're listening to this, you probably have read every damn thing there is to read. You don't need any more information. We just need to learn to take action.
Yes.
That's the hard part. Reading the book's the easy part. Taking the action is the hard part. I actually wrote an essay not too long ago. I need to find it, about being addicted to self-help. And it's kind of a funny story if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
But
it's true. And I see it. I see it with so many women. And what happens is it backfires. Yeah. You read a book and you try to put these practices in place. Maybe, because sometimes this is this when, and I love self-help. I read it, a lot of it myself, but the people that write the book were successful with it for a reason, because they did something with it. If we just read it, but you know, my point is there's a backlash effect. And what happens is we end up reinforcing that we can't fix things, that we aren't capable, that we don't have any power in our situation is hopeless. So I'm always cautious. I love self-help myself, but really it's when we put the rubber to the road that makes a difference. And that's really why we're doing this series, is so that in the next episodes, we're going to start giving listeners that those things, like, go take action. Don't just listen to us chat. Go take action and let us know how it goes.
In fact, we should probably give people homework.
Oh, really?
No. Okay. Never mind.
So I hesitate. Let me tell you why. So I don't know if you know this about me, but I was a teacher for 13 years. Then I became a school administrator. So I was an elementary principal, a high school principal, a district level administrator. So homework is one of those things where that ties in my
well, old maybe life. We don't call it homework then.
I call it life work.
There you go.
In my coaching practice.
There you go.
We want you to take something new and apply it to your life.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, good.
Let me think of something else.
Well, you also talked about, or maybe this is some of the things that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Feeling powerless about changing.
Yeah. I think that does tie in, but you know, so many of us, particularly when we get over 50, if we knew how to get it right, we would have freaking done it by now.
Yeah.
And so we've tried, and we've not accomplished what we want to accomplish. And that leaves us feeling hopeless. And what happens is we start to settle, right? We start to say to ourselves, well, maybe this is the hand I was dealt. Maybe this is what my life is supposed to be like. I remember vividly saying that to myself in my marriage. And I just said, I can't. I prayed to love him. Like, I literally said, God, I don't know why you won't let me feel this. And I have a great life, but this isn't where I belong, but maybe this is what's for me. And that thought stayed with me for about 5 years until I finally thought, well, until I finally got my shit together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when we feel hopeless, we settle and we don't expect anything more out of our lives. In the time of our life, Shelley, when we have everything we need, right? We've got the wisdom, we've got the experience, we've got knowledge. We have everything we need to create the life we want. Yet this is a time where some of us sadly start to settle in because we don't know the way out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's just layers upon layers upon layers of decades of being mired down in a lot of things. And the things that we talked about, you know, if you feel like you can't put yourself first, if you feel like you have to, you know, be at the beck and call of your, you know, drama mongers. If you feel like you're always in crisis, if you're constantly reading self-help, those are just adding to the layers of you feeling powerless.
Definitely.
Because I did feel that when I was in my 40s, I would read self-help books and then I would, you know, think about my insolent teens and how crappy my life was. And I would just toss the book aside and that was that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things too that I really realized that I needed to get my shit together was I was blaming everyone else for my life.
Perfect. Yeah.
Every time I turned around, someone else's fault that my life had gone to hell.
Yes.
And that becomes a problem then because no one wants to take responsibility. Well, I didn't. I was like, it's not my fault. You know, my life is so crappy. I'm perfect.
Yeah.
If so-and-so hadn't done this or my parents hadn't been this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you spend a lot of your days blaming other people, then it's probably time to look at getting your shit together.
Yeah. And to extend that, I think where I really see a lot of that is in relationships. And those of us who have been married more than once, we know that it's so easy to put all the shit on our ex or the person that we're there with currently and don't want to leave. And so I see that a lot. If, you know, women who are in a series of shitty relationships or not even married relationships, but just regular, you know, close relationships, and the same things keep happening over and over again with different people. Yeah. And women will say to me, I have no idea why this keeps happening to me. And it takes a while, particularly in a coaching practice, to, you know, there's work to be done before that client, those women recognize that you're the common denominator. It doesn't mean that you're to blame. It means that you have the power to make that change. If you're going to try and change someone else, and I have clients and I talk to women that do that all the time. Well, if I just do this differently, I know my partner will do this. Well, that's manipulation.
What?
That's manipulation.
Been there, done that.
Well, of course, because isn't that kind of what girls are taught? Well, you know, he's picking on you in the playground because he really likes you. So we get all these mixed messages on how to, you know, work relationships. But
yeah, we have our wily ways about us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Many of them. Many of them. But yeah, being in a string of what I call shitty relationships and just landing in the same relationship with a different person. It's almost like you're reliving, what's that movie? Groundhog Day with Dan. Is it Dan Aykroyd? I can't remember. Yeah. And you just get up and start the same day over and over and over again. It's the same relationship over and over and over again.
Well, you know, it's just like too, when you talk about relationships, I think about my relationships with other things like jobs and food and alcohol and, you know, lots of things that we can definitely talk about, you know, going from one thing to another, thinking, well, this is going to change. And it doesn't because you've not changed or got a different mindset or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all sorts of like, I have a really great relationship with Steve now, but my relationship with alcohol really needs to like, and I know I want to talk about that with you because you have been off alcohol for what, like over 2 years now, right?
Well, not or quite 536 days, I think. Yeah. Who's counting?
Well, I am, obviously. But anyway.
That's a really good point, because I think a lot of times we compartmentalize. If we're and that's how it was for me. Like, I knew my marriage was a shit show, but my career for a long time was doing very well. So
exactly.
But then there comes a time when it all starts to overflow. And this is what you're saying, right? You can't separate the parts of your life. We have to live our lives as our whole self, so that the person who shows up at work and the person who shows up in a relationship and the mother and all those people are one person.
Brilliant.
So yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love that. I love that. So any other topics that we want people to, or subjects that we think that women listening can be like, man,
yeah. I think that's a great start. I love to hear from them. Maybe it's kind of hard to self-identify. Like, yeah, I'm a shit show but maybe if they've gotten their shit together and have some specifics on how they recognized it, because I really think women who are struggling don't necessarily know that you can change this. You don't have to live like this. Just because your family's full of drama and they're dumping it on you, there's a way to fix that. There's a way. And so I think that would be great to hear from listeners too.
Well, and even, you know, you can, well, I'll put contact information down below in the show notes, but even if you want to run something by us by saying, this is what's happening. Is this like something I should be experiencing? Is this all right? Is this like one of the things you're talking about?
Yeah.
Because I know that when I was so mired down in my drama and my loathing and all that self-pity and complaining, I could not see the forest for the trees. I mean, I was so like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And so if you had said to me, well, you know, your complaint could be part of the problem, I'd be like, out of my life, you know, don't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
How dare you? Because we just sometimes just get so mired down in it that we just cannot see beyond ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that's really, you bring up a good point, because getting your shit together requires brutal honesty. And we have to be ready to have hard conversations with ourselves. And a lot of times when we need to get our shit together, we don't trust ourselves because we feel like we failed so many times before. So we don't trust our gut. And that's one of the places we need to start, is get honest with yourself. And that's a really hard thing to do. So, and I think when you said, you know, we get mired down in things, that's absolutely true. And we can't see the forest through the trees. And we need somebody to say, in a safe space, say, you know what, have you thought about this? Or can you look at this in another way? And most people, in my experience, they appreciate someone with some compassion saying, you know, one of the things you might want to take a look at is, because deep down, here's the thing, Shelley, you and I both know this. We have everything we need. You and I talk about this all the time. As women, we've been trained not to trust our instincts and not to listen to our gut because we're so busy taking care of everybody else. But the truth is, we know what we need to do for ourselves. We need to be able to access that. There's so much layering on top of our real voice and our power that we need to be able to access that. And secondly, we need to have the confidence in ourselves to do it, because you know as well as I do, when you create change in your life, there's kind of the people around you aren't going to stand up and clap for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot of power to be had in getting your shit together. It sounds like it's a knock on people, when really what you and I are saying is you have the power to create intentionally the life that you want. Mm-hmm. And it starts with getting your shit together. And it's a great way to put it. Cause you know,
well, you know, one of the things I really like about us, Michelle, is that, and I know this is going to sound really cliched, but I always call it my train track moment, you know, where I was at the train track that one day. And I've always said, I don't want women to reach the age of 50 and have that train track moment. I just don't want it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do these things and we say these things, we talk about getting your shit together, but it definitely comes from a place of been there, done that, and the compassion needed to know, like, we see you, we hear you.
Yes.
We know exactly. Our stories may not be the same, our circumstance, you know, but we know.
Yeah.
We know. So yeah, stick with us, sisters, and we'll help each other out. So
it's awesome.
It is. So any parting words before we...
Well, I think if any of what your listeners have heard today rings true, stick with us, because once we help women identify that, hey, this might be for me, we're going to start talking about some concrete things women can do on the daily that can make a difference. And there'll be safe things that they can do easily. You don't have to go buy anything. We have, like I said, we have everything we need. And, you know, our goal is to bring that to women and empower them to try something and see how it works.
Yeah.
And to realize, I think the biggest thing is to realize the power that you have to create change in your life and create the life that you really want for yourself. And somebody put on one of my social media posts today, you eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Yep.
Yep. So that your life may feel like it's a big elephant, but one small bite every day will make a huge difference.
Exactly. And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Awesome.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Shelley.